Harder Knocks. You are now listening to Harder Knocks.
Boof.
Like a John Gruden touchdown celebration, we are fired up to be back here for the third episode of Harder Knocks, training camp with Hard Knocks, training camp with the Oakland Raiders. I'm Matt Wach, social media manager of the Raiders.
And I'm Kyle Martin, our digital media content producer.
The rap air horns never get old. I know we say that every week, but they truly don't.
How long do you think you could listen to a rap air horn consecutively?
Oh, boy.
Before you just started going crazy. Like, imagine if you were out in space and the only sound that you could hear was that constantly ringing through your mind.
Oh, man. I would open the airlock. You know what's funny is we've listened to that so much when we're recording and when we're getting ready to go that when I hear the real theme on HBO, my brain expects air horns to come at the end of it.
Definitely. And I'm expecting the witness protection voices to be there also. I never know if the high-pitched one is coming first or the deep, deep low-pitched. But
little curveball. Well, we're back for third week.
We can't believe it.
I know. We just finished the third episode of Hard Knocks, and we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, and Harder Knocks, training camp with Hard Knocks, training camp with the Oakland Raiders. Fired up to be here.
That's right. So we kicked off this first scene of the third episode with Gruden kind of throwing down the gauntlet to the team in Glendale, ahead of the Arizona game. But it was a little bit of a fake out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was more of just, hey, we're going to be traveling a lot. It was very just calm, cool, and collected for Gruden standards, right?
Exactly. And then we had a surprise appearance. It's funny because even when we were traveling with the team, I don't think we knew that Frank Caliendo, master comedian and impersonator, was going to address the team.
No, I found out about it through Twitter, to be honest. I was shocked and it's like, oh, that's a cool appearance, I guess. I mean, heads up might have been good for our content needs. But
exactly. So one of Caliendo's bread and butter impersonations, obviously, is Coach Gruden. And he addressed the team as Coach Gruden. And obviously a hilarious scene, incredibly talented. My favorite little detail was the huge fake Super Bowl ring that Caliendo wore when he addressed the team. I thought that was nice.
It really put his performance over the top. It really upped his game a little bit. I wonder, because it's funny, he says he runs out of things to say like 5 minutes prior. I wonder how many things he came up with in his mind. Because if you're doing an impersonation of somebody, it's probably based on one central thing. And then expanding off of that could get kind of difficult. So I wonder how far his you can't impersonate Gruden sitting down at Sunday dinner.
Right, because the punchline, right, obviously is how similar he sounds to Gruden. But once that's been conveyed, it's almost like that's the joke.
Yeah, the bit's done.
Right, you have to move on. And you saw him do a little Charles Barkley. You saw him do a little John Madden, Stephen A. The dude's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, and I thought the funniest part of that, truthfully, was when Gruden says to him, hey, Frank, why don't you do something funny?
Exactly. Always tough to tell whether Gruden liked it or was a little irked.
Yeah, I imagine Gruden just kind of treats him as a court jester. you just come in, do your bit, entertain my guests, and I'll get out.
Exactly. And then sort of quickly, the whole tone of the episode shifted, and we got the hero's entrance shot of Antonio Brown returning to practice in Napa, set to A Lot by 21 Savage. And of all the cool slow-mo moments that we've had this entire season, that's got to be right up there at the top.
Stepping out of the Lamborghini, putting the jersey on, just being with his teammates, everybody welcoming him back. It was a good sight to see, obviously, with everything going around in the headlines lately, but a very, like you said, hero's welcome for Mr. Brown.
We will touch on this a little bit later with our special guest, because yes, Raider Nation, we actually have a special guest. We've promised it for 3 weeks now. We will deliver later on this episode. I won't tell you who it is, but I will say that we do get into how Antonio Brown has been perceived by the national media and by the audience of Hard Knocks versus how he's been perceived by his teammates, by the players and coaches and staff of the Raiders. Because even though Antonio Brown outside of Napa and this little bubble that we're in has been labeled as this enormous distraction, especially in Coach Gruden's eyes, he really hasn't been. In fact, Coach Gruden even says in this episode, you know, I give him credit for standing up for what he believes in. And that really was an accurate portrayal in my experience of how the team has, I don't even want to say dealt with, because it that's too strong of a term, but has experienced what's going on with Antonio Brown.
Sure. I think in a bigger picture, too, that's always kind of what the Raiders have been about, right, in terms of Al Davis and being progressive. And they're very accepting of all mentalities, beliefs, things that people want to achieve and why they're standing up for the things that they believe in. And obviously Gruden reflects that in this moment with PR director Will Kiss.
Saying some good screen time in this episode for Mr. Kiss.
Yeah, it's just cool that the Raiders have always, you know, supported their employees and the players that are on the field.
Absolutely.
So after, you know, we get a little bit of taste of Gruden's patriotic message for AB, we see them out on the practice field hanging out, getting ready for another day of work, and Tyre Whitehead never wearing a shirt.
Never.
Ever.
Never. There should be a running clock in the bottom of the screen of all of the time that Tyre's on screen and not wearing a shirt. And the man makes a great point. He says, look, if you work around the year, around the calendar year, to look like this, you got to show it off.
And what a sad moment for Gruden. I feel like we all see a little bit of ourselves in that comment where he's like, oh, those days are behind me.
Very wistful. The envy that plays across. Honestly, just that little 8 seconds should be up for some sort of award of some kind. An Oscar, maybe.
I don't know if it's that good of a performance, but sure, it was moving, I suppose.
It had some pathos to it, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. After that, we transition into the end of practice when John Abram and a few of the players get to meet the Madden ratings adjusters.
Yes, these guys have become quite the celebrities on the social media circuit because ostensibly on the surface, they have the power to directly impact a player's rating in Madden. So they've sort of been doing this cross-country kind of tour where they're swinging by camps and they're talking to players who were very vocal in their distaste with their Madden ratings. And so we got kind of a cool moment where Jonathan Abram got to stump not only for his own Madden rating, but he went to bat for Derek Carr. He went to bat for Eric Harris, Carl Joseph. Exactly. And it was just kind of a fun little moment there.
Absolutely. I want to know what it takes to become a Madden ratings adjuster. As Eddie, our colleague and the host of Upon Further Review, sat down with, I believe, one of the Madden ratings adjusters not too long ago.
He did, yes.
And they talked about how they watch hours and hours of film. It feels like they're an actual NFL coach. But what are your credentials? What's on your resume when you're applying for a Madden ratings adjuster position?
I can't imagine there are many people that fit the center of the Venn diagram of technical, analytical, statistical, like that world and the world of the NFL. Like, you would think that most of the people who are in the middle of that Venn diagram are working in front offices. You wouldn't necessarily think of them as working at EA Sports.
No, not at all. And I wonder, I feel like they'd be perfect for a role at PFF, you know? Like,
exactly.
Pro Football Focus and Madden ratings adjusters seem like they go hand in hand. A bunch of numbers that really don't matter, but people seem to care a lot about.
That's very, very true. And that gave us a great segue into Darren Waller, because they asked Darren Waller, you know, what do you think your Madden rating? You know, he was a 68 overall, and I don't think that they were ready for his incredibly honest answer, which essentially was, well, that makes sense. You know, I haven't really put it all out there yet.
No, and he keeps it real with them, and he keeps it real with himself off the field, too. From there, we go into a little bit of the deep dive on his story and the demons that he's encountered in his life, how he combats them, and how he's been 2 years sober now, which is incredible.
Yeah, he just crossed the two-year mark shortly after they taped that. Obviously dealt with some substance abuse problems that led to him being out of the league for an entire year. They showed some footage of an old Hard Knocks episode in Baltimore, which I thought was a pretty unique insight that only someone like HBO Sports or NFL Films could give, that kind of colored what he was saying. Because what struck me, especially in his stand-up in his room, was the, like, unflinching honesty and the genuine, like, self-awareness that he showed when he explained how tough it was, how close he was to completely giving up the NFL, and how he was essentially waiting for the NFL to kick him out for good.
Yeah, well, self-sabotage. I think that whole sequence and what he reveals is fascinating in terms of all the things that you hear about athletes, like Kevin Love saying mental health is a real thing that we should be monitoring more. And all these players are real people too. They have their own encounters and things that they experience on a day-to-day basis and that they struggle with. And for him to be open, like you said, and honest with not only HBO, but the entire country and everyone who watches Hard Knocks, that's incredible. That shows where he is mentally and where he is in terms of his self-confidence at this point.
Yeah, and aside from the substance abuse issues, which obviously don't define him, you know, he is an accomplished musician. He's got music on Spotify, and he's a straight baller. Like, they had a whole series of highlights of him just dusting, you know, some of both our players in training camp and some of the Rams players as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun season to watch for him. Obviously, he showed glimpses of what he's capable of in 2018, but with a full year under his belt, who knows how much higher his rating will go up.
Yeah, it's exciting to watch. And obviously another receiver that's super exciting to watch who finally got his little spotlight, if you will, was Hunter Renfrow, the rookie wide receiver out of Clemson.
Yeah, it's a shame that all the times that he's been referenced have been shots taken at the poor guy.
The man is constantly in the business of getting his chops busted.
Yeah, which, like you said, you got to have thick skin, not only in the NFL, but especially when you're dealing with Gruden, because they're going to point out every single flaw that you may or may not think you have.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of like being in a frat and getting so much ish from everyone, and if you showed any modicum of vulnerability or you know, real feelings, if you allowed yourself to have your feelings hurt, the abuse would just get magnified.
Yeah, definitely. And poor Mike Glennon too, because he gets subject to some shaming as well. And you could tell when they make fun of his neck the first time in the team meeting, he smirks a little bit, but there's nothing more to that. He's like, oh boy, I really wish I didn't just sit through another neck joke.
Exactly. And same with Hunter, you know, when Derek is talking to him about looking like he's 37 years old, he almost gets exasperated. Like, look, man, like, it's my hairline. I can't do anything about it. It's not receding. It's just how. And I didn't think it was very fair of Derek, of all people, to be taking shots at someone's hairline, because there's power alleys are strong with number four as well.
There's definitely power alleys with Derek. And if you go on Google and just hit a quick Derek Carr bald, the nation has been kind enough to provide everybody with some looks at what DC might look like bald, which might not be in the not-so-distant future.
Hopefully we don't have to experience that world just yet where he's gone full Hasselbeck. But
oh, gosh. Well, hopefully winning will cure all of that.
Exactly.
And he won't be as stressed as he is.
So we got to see some Hunter put the moves on. He has one move on Eric Harris that is just slowed down a little bit.
Man. He puts like a swim move on him, right? And he just sends him off the screen almost.
Yeah, exactly. Incredibly cool. And the music they set to that, first of all, the music in general on Hard Knocks is just amazing. From, I know we mentioned 21 Savage at the top, but the music through three episodes now has been so diverse and cool that I went ahead last night, actually, Kyle, and I made a Spotify playlist of every song that has been featured on Hard Knocks so far, including the theme, which is by, you know, a composer that NFL Films has signed up. But from,
will it be made available?
Yes.
How will people be able to access that?
Great question. So I will include it in the recap that will be on Raiders.com of
the article
of this episode. Okay. And then I'll also tweet it out from at MG Walks. And I'll add to it each week as more songs get added. But they have everyone from Leonard Cohen to Lil Nas X, obviously, to 21 Savage, to Surface, to, like, it's just an incredible array of music. And it always seems like the specific moment I'm thinking of with Hunter Renfrow, I believe when they're showing his highlights from college, they play Big Crit, shout out David Hellman one time, and the song Energy, and it just fits and flows so well that you just have to give it up.
Well, I think that's the thing, that, right, while they're all diverse, they all fit whatever it is that they're trying to convey.
Right.
And they're so perfectly matched with whoever's on screen and what's going on behind them. And
yeah, they put an old Mavis Staples song, I think called Change, under Darren Waller when he's just on the stationary bike working. It's like a work of art.
That was a cool slow-mo shot, too, with the sweat dripping off of him, all his tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. In preparation for Canada Week coming up as the team.
It's Canada Week.
Gets ready to go to Manitoba, a little Winnipeg action.
That's right.
Hard Knocks featured the only Canadian on the roster, Luke Wilson, who went on a nice little boating adventure with his father, his pops. And it was funny to see, especially right after he had his press conference earlier in the week in training camp in Napa, California, to talk about how Hard Knocks has kind of framed him in a bad light in the first episode. He apparently, what looks like he takes a hit from Jonathan Abram. It wasn't him. And apparently after that, that wasn't Luke Wilson calling out Jonathan Abram after the big hit. They took two different clips and pieced them together. And
made it look magic.
Yeah, and he was saying all my boys from back home are roasting me, saying I got blown up on the plane. It wasn't even me. And so now, of course, Hard Knocks does a whole segment on him, which is pretty funny. But it was an interesting little deal with him and his dad.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They took a boat around San Francisco Bay in Sausalito, and it was so Canadian straight from the jump, because in the first 30 seconds of him and his dad talking, you got a Hanson, the band name drop, and you got an NHL mention. And I figured, wow, like, if that isn't just Canada in a nutshell.
Luke Wilson would have been a bad hockey player. He would have been like Zdeno Chara, just given his size, yeah, but with really good hair.
Exactly.
Not a shot at Zdeno Chara, but exactly. Luke Wilson's got him in that category.
Luke definitely does care about his hair. His hair and his calves.
I wonder how much he conditions.
Oh, man, great question. I would think that if you're wearing a helmet for your job, mm-hmm, you got to put a lot of maintenance and work in. I going back to hairlines, I'm sure that's why people like Peyton Manning and all these old quarterbacks, their hairline just kind of goes because they're wearing a helmet all the time.
I've actually talked about this with Trav before. Trav doesn't believe that wearing, like MLB players too, right? They're constantly wearing hats.
Yeah.
Trav doesn't believe that wearing a hat is bad for your hair.
Interesting. Do we have any scientific research on either side of this debate?
I don't think so. Not that we've put forth to each other, but I think it's interesting that, you know, anybody who wears hats or helmets, given it cuts off all the air circulation at the top of your head, that your hair follicles kind of just die out, which is, boy.
Okay, I just Googled, do hats cause baldness? The top result from keeps.com is, wearing hats does not cause hair loss. Actually, let us caveat that. If you consistently wear an extremely tight hat, you could experience traction alopecia, which is the gradual hair loss resulting from repetitive pulling or tension of the hair. But as long as you're not wearing an extremely tight hat. Now, helmets, are they extremely tight hats? I would think so. Who knows?
It seems like they didn't really answer my question.
I don't know, but that was another science corner of, of Harder Knocks. So then as we segue into behind the curtain here, we wanted to sort of give a certain moment a little bit of spotlight or a little bit of background context as we do each episode. And the moment I specifically wanted to touch on was during the Arizona game. It was just before kickoff and after warmups when Antonio Brown was walking back into the locker room. He crossed over the yellow rope and spent some time with some fans, made one young kid's life, gave him a hug. The kid was in tears. It was honestly one of the cooler moments. Hard Knocks captured it. You could also have seen this moment on any of our at Raider social channels. I would be remiss if I did not plug, because those were everywhere. And
That video got picked up from us on SportsCenter, ESPN, on Bleacher Report, NFL. It was everywhere.
It made the rounds. So two things there. One, shout out to our own Eddie Pascal, who was savvy enough to film that moment and send it over to us. And two, believe it or not, that moment, that 30-second video or however long it was, ended up becoming the most viewed Instagram video on the at Raiders handle ever. Ever. Would you like to guess how many views it received?
Oh, boy. Total?
Total views just on Instagram.
Well, let me ask you this.
If sure.
Our video is used on another platform, yep, do we still get the views technically? Does it all come together as one, or is it just the views strictly on our platform?
So the views on Twitter are one thing, the views on Instagram are another thing, the views on Facebook are a third thing. But so the views on Instagram, if someone reposts our video, we do not get those views.
Got it. Okay. Combined our Twitter and Instagram?
Just Instagram.
Okay. I'm going to say 400,000 views.
You are very, very close, my friend. Last I checked, it was 440,000 views.
That's
which
wild.
Which was the most ever. The previous high was AB showing up at Derek's house right after he got traded here. So huge moment, obviously. And what was really cool about it is AB had been doing that all pregame. He had been finding fans, even it's amazing, the fans that are wearing Dallas Cowboys gear, Pittsburgh Steelers gear. There's a guy in a Miami Dolphins jersey. All of them wanted AB's autograph. He was your, you know, your favorite player's favorite player. So he was signing autographs for everyone. He was posing for pictures. He was singling out kids to give some love to. And for everything the media says about him, for all of the quote-unquote selfish labels, the quote-unquote diva labels, like everything that was said about him when he left Pittsburgh, if you get a chance to see Antonio Brown interact with a fan one-on-one, two things I want to point out. One, the fan, all of them, the fans love him. They absolutely love him. And two, he takes the time with each fan to create a special moment or a special bond, which a lot of athletes do, obviously. But considering how much flack he gets from others about how he behaves, I think it's very telling.
Yeah, I think he receives a lot of fan mail, too, that reassures him of the outpouring of love he gets from the kids, the people who look up to him, giving him the reassurance that he knows he's still a good role model for those kids, despite all the slander that he receives, whether it's fair or unfair. But yeah, it was definitely one of the bright spots of this episode and for all of our social platforms.
That's right.
But it just goes to show that you can't really plan for a viral video, right?
No,
it's just you happen to, or you hope to capture the moment in the moment, and whatever it is, who knows whether it's going to go viral or not. But
it seems like the simple recipe is a well-known star, someone everyone knows, you know, a universally known personality, plus any sort of surprising emotion, whether it's anger, sadness, happiness, gratefulness. If you can get that recipe together and it's, you know, short, it's consumable, usually that can end in like a viral video. But you can't just manufacture those, I think, which is super important.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, I think the best content out there are the things that, like you said, evoke any kind of emotion.
Yeah.
That's what we all want to experience, whether it's a good movie, good TV show, or just a simple video on Instagram, whether it could be a dog video. I'm sure all
exactly.
My girlfriend sends me dog videos like there's no tomorrow. And that just works for her. And for several people out there, AB giving a kid that was crying a hug was more than enough.
Surprise and delight, baby. Surprise and delight. And before we wrap up our program, we have teased it for weeks now, Kyle. We have promised a special guest. We have finally delivered. He is a sportscaster. He is an NFL analyst. He has covered football in some form or fashion for 15 years. The host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, more germane to our world. He's the host of the official Hard Knocks podcast. Am I missing anything on your CV, Peter?
No, you got it. You nailed it, man. You guys are spot on.
Peter, how did you get involved in this? Obviously, this is, you know, sort of a big move for HBO Sports and NFL Films, and it's honestly kind of surprising that a Hard Knocks podcast hasn't been around in the past.
You know who I have to thank for this opportunity and for this podcast? The show Chernobyl. And let me explain. So HBO had Chernobyl, a miniseries, 6 episodes, maybe 5 episodes.
Right.
Big hit. And that went with Chernobyl was an accompanying podcast with the showrunner and the writer of the show being interviewed by a host of a podcast. And each week after the show aired, they would release a new podcast where they would kind of explain what you just watched and go a little deeper. And in some cases, explain the making of the show, that some of the characters were actually fictional, but they had to create them to kind of fill this void
right.
And what they left off. All of these different interesting nuggets, and the HBO folks loved it. It was a popular podcast, and I have a long history of pitching myself to NFL Films saying, anything you guys ever need, I'd love to be a part of, and it was the perfect marriage. So with Hard Knocks, they said, let's do a little something like that, see how it goes, and we're a few episodes in, and I got to tell you, the feedback's been awesome, and I've been having a blast. But it's kind of the explainer for Hard Knocks. And to go one step further with it, what I was fascinated by, and I spoke with Ken Rogers, who's the head of NFL Films, or really the head of Hard Knocks for NFL Films. The title is The Show Head. And he said the interesting part about the Hard Knocks audience is that, in more instances than not, the viewer is not a hardcore football fan. It's not the fan watching ESPN and NFL Network all day. It's not the fan who's on Raiders.com or on Raiders blogs. In a lot of cases, it's just a fan of HBO, and they get captivated by the stories in August. So this kind of is for that person too, kind of explaining who exactly is Hunter Renfrow and going
right
from there.
That's really surprising. It's pretty crazy that we have a nuclear disaster in Ukraine in 1986 to thank for this podcast reaching us.
Yes, at 1:20 a.m. in Ukraine,
that's right.
in the exclusion zone. I don't think this is what anyone was worried about. And you know, we joke about it. That was a horrible tragedy.
Sure.
But I think the success of that show and the success of the podcast kind of was a light going off for all of HBO. You might have a Righteous Gemstones podcast coming out next season. Who knows?
Peter, obviously, Matt and I, we have kind of a biased opinion since we work for the team and we see what's going on behind closed doors. But from somebody on the outside looking in, what surprised you through these first two episodes?
The surprise to me was the solidarity and the support that Brown has from Gruden. And everyone that I speak to says, that's not for the cameras, that's not for HBO. That's the real deal. Like, John has Antonio's back through all of this, through the foot, through the missing practices, through going missing when everyone else is in Napa, to every step along the way. And I kind of made that point in last week's episode of the podcast, which was episode 2, and I'm going to make it again in episode 3. I feel like at some point we all envision John Gruden to turn on Brown and say, you're either with us or you're not. And of course, on Sunday night, it was Mayock who said, you're all in or you're all out. But Gruden is truly a fascinating figure. Obviously, he's a gift to us in the media and a gift for Hard Knocks. But I got to say, if I'm a guy around the league, I would want to play for that guy. It seems like he's got my back through thick and thin.
Absolutely. And I just got done listening to episode 2 of your podcast. And I love that you kept in Gruden's little blurb where they're sitting in the team room or in the meeting room and he goes, has anybody seen my friend Antonio Brown? Because to me, that felt like an 8-year-old kid that's upset that his buddy can't come out and play basketball with him on the cul-de-sac, you know?
Exactly right. And I feel like he's been marinating the thoughts of what he can do in that offense with 84 for not just this offseason, but probably since going back to his Monday Night Football days where he was watching Brown dominate at such a high level. So that to me is one thing. And again, I would say maybe behind closed doors, Gruden's, you know, cussing him up and down, but no, he can't. The cameras are there. He's not. They would include it if he was.
Right. You kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, Peter, but the national reaction, obviously we're up in Napa. We're here in Alameda. We're very much in this bubble. What has been the national reaction, as far as you can tell, not only to the podcast, but to the show in general this season?
The first episode, people were critical of it because on the outside looking in, the Brown stuff was a calamity and a circus. And, you know, we're doing funny bits with Jonathan Abram and Cleveland Farrell while this Brown stuff is going on.
Right.
The second episode, I thought, hit it a little bit more, but they didn't include the helmet stuff. And then, you know, Ken Rogers, who's the show head I just referenced earlier, was like, guys, I'm sorry to tell everyone, but in Napa, in that bubble you just mentioned, it's not the story everyone's talking about. There's 89 other guys, and if we're going to give actual access to the Oakland Raiders in training camp, the actual access is that they're not obsessing over which, you know, should Air Advantage 2 is going to be is going to be acceptable by the league. So it's an interesting dichotomy of what we're seeing on NFL Network and ESPN and all the blogs, and then what's really going on in Oakland. Because I'll tell you what, I work on a morning show for NFL Network. Talking about Antonio Brown and his helmet sells. Whether or not that's the biggest story at Raiders training camp, that's for you guys. Tell me.
Exactly.
Also, Peter, so you spent plenty of time working alongside Mike Mayock. I don't know how closely. Obviously, you guys were colleagues at the NFL Network. Has it been weird or interesting for you to watch how he's interacted with the players as a GM? Because obviously this is a new experience for him and everybody's very excited about his opportunity. But what's it been like for you and some of his former colleagues at the NFL Network seeing him on HBO?
Yeah, Mayock's always been cool to me. Even before I was with NFL Network, was always at the pro days. And he's a cool guy and he's a nice guy. I wouldn't say he was my friend, and I certainly wouldn't say I know him as well as other guys at the NFL Network who logged a decade with him doing draft coverage. But you won't find a person on our network or who has worked at the NFL Network to say a foul thing about Mike Mayock as a dude. And I think that's what has come through on this show, and not so much the obsession with hip swivel or his knowledge of pad level or whatever else he says on these draft things. No, he's actually a really good guy, and people like working with him and like working alongside him. I thought the little moment in episode two where he references Bootsy Collins to the rookie defensive end, what's his name, Max Crosby. Max Crosby. I was going to say Max Williams. He's a tight end with the Ravens. But Max Crosby, that Bootsy Collins thing, if you know Mayock, he goes deep with his musical references, goes deep with T-Funk, goes deep with all that kind of stuff. So that was a bit of the personality that I think a lot of people at home who know him as, here we are, NFL Network, football guy, hard hat, let's talk about, you know, a player's 40 time. No, he's a dude, and he's a cool guy, too. So I thought that was interesting. But I'm not surprised that it's working out between him and Gruden. Those guys are as respected as anyone, both in media and around the football world.
You brought up, too, also how you've been surprised by the fact that maybe they didn't dive as deeply on AB's helmet stuff or just some of the other storylines going on at camp. If you had to choose any player on the roster that you would like to see a deeper dive on done by Hard Knocks, who would it be?
Can I get some Vontaze Burfict at some point? At some point, you might want to highlight the guy who was essentially ostracized by the entire NFL, a guy that Mayock, at one point in his career, on a broadcast, said was undraftable, I believe, and at one point, nearly ruined Antonio Brown's following season with a hit. So I don't know if they do it in episode three, and we're recording this right before episode three premieres, but I think Vontaze Burfict, forget the Raiders, one of the most fascinating guys in all of football this season. And we haven't heard a peep about him on Hard Knocks yet.
Yeah, he's an absolutely great candidate. I think a lot of fans also want to see, you know, the rookie Josh Jacobs. He's sort of been – he actually tweeted earlier last week that he was hiding from the camera. So he's somehow flown under the radar this year. And, Peter, before we get you out of here, we're just wondering if we can – because we want to be like your podcast. You guys are breaking news. You're genuine. You're serious. So we want a little exclusive. Can we get anything out of you coming down the pipe from the official Hard Knocks podcast? Can we get any exclusive, maybe some guests, maybe something you're excited to look forward to on your podcast? Is there anything you can share with us on that front?
We've had some good guests in the past. I've got on episode three, which comes out on Friday, someone who knows Mike Mayock just about as well as anybody. I'm not going to tease who it is.
A little tease. I love that.
A little tease who's going to give us the real deal on Mayock and whether or not this was Mayock's dream from the very start or this was just an opportunity he couldn't say no to or what the reaction was in Mayock's inner circle when he took the job. So I think Mayock is going to be a focus of the third episode of the podcast. There's going to be five total. But I got to tell you, I feel like this thing is about to art, you know, parallels with life, whatever they say. This Raiders training camp has been fascinating. And I think, you know, the story hasn't even been written yet. So we're going to see how the Antonio Brown stuff plays out. We're going to see if Derek Carr finally, latches out against Brown or if he says, I'm going to wrap my arm around this guy like I have been all along. Raiders are fascinating this year, and I think our podcast is doing as good a job as we can accompanying the work that you guys are doing, both there in the building and then, of course, what all the Hard Knocks guys are doing, giving it to HBO.
Peter, thank you so much for joining Harder Knocks Training Camp with Hard Knocks Training Camp with the Oakland Raiders. What do you think of that name? We're still workshopping it.
I absolutely love it. It's fantastic. It is as good a Hard Knocks podcast title name for a podcast that there could be. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. You can hear the Hard Knocks podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Am I forgetting anything there, Peter?
No, I think that's it. Stitcher? I don't know what that is, but they said Stitcher.
Stitcher, okay.
Yeah,
excellent. Stitcher. All right. Thank you very much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
And again, we thank Peter. That was super insightful, and it's really cool to see his perspective of things as opposed to ours.
Definitely, and I think he had a lot of interesting tidbits that I didn't know, like Mayock and how he wants to see more Burfict. I think that's something that we all want a little bit. Maybe Josh Jacobs, the man who didn't even have the first carry of his career shown on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, what was up with that, man?
I don't know. Look, man, I don't know. I feel like that would have been a cool moment to show the rookie getting his first carry, but I'm not a producer on the show, so what can I say?
All right, so then let's wrap things up here with a two-minute warning. Kyle, who was your MVP of this third episode?
My MVP? It's got to be Antonio Brown for me. I think you know, we've heard so much about AB and see him return. That was a big moment. And then we got to see him train a little bit on the field, right? Go through how his working his way back to being in the locker room with his buddies and being on the field with DC in the pads and getting their timing down properly. But he said something that really stood out to me is, I think I'm a master of adversity. And I don't feel like there's anybody else in the NFL that could probably claim to be a master of adversity. Maybe Odell, I don't know, sure. But I wouldn't dub him as a master of it. I think sure. AB for sure is a master of his own craft, and he's a master of just dealing with all of the slander that people throw his way. Right. Again, like I said earlier, whether it's fair or unfair, the man works harder than anybody.
Right.
And he just overcomes it by doing what he does best. And
putting up incredible numbers that nobody's ever seen before.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, regardless of what's said about him, it's not like he attacks people personally or he goes after each single member of the media saying that they're fraudulent or what they're saying is untrue.
Sure.
When he was asked about it post-game against Arizona, he was just, you know, it hurts for my family more than it hurts me.
Right.
Right? And
he's got a thick skin. He's been doing this a long time.
And one thing, too, that I've heard Antonio say before that really resonated with me is men lie, women lie, analytics don't. Numbers never lie. And since I believe he put a graphic on his Instagram recently, since 2011, I believe.
He's 2010, yeah. He's first in the NFL in
practically every category.
Every meaningful receiving category.
Yards, touchdowns, all of that, yeah. And one last thing is I love how he talks in third person.
You know? Oh, man. That just cements his legacy as like a vintage superstar wide receiver.
It's funny because Zlatan Ibrahimovic does that a lot, too. And I feel like you have to be of that elite.
The Dion level, the Zlatan level.
Yeah, in order to consider yourself whatever you think you are in your own eyes. But what he says really... Gosh, wow, that really got tongue-tied there.
It's okay.
Yeah, those guys in the upper echelon and the elite tiers of the status they've achieved, you got to be a special person to be able to talk in third person.
Yeah, Matt agrees with you. My MVP was Darren Waller, I think for some of the reasons we've touched on before, but there are a lot of people that are in the public spotlight that have dealt with, self-imposed or not, a lot of adversity, substance abuse issues, stuff like that. And I found his candor to be very unique. I can't say that if I was in his same situation that I would be able to open up like that. And between what he said on Hard Knocks and his recent appearance on Upon Further Review, you can tell that nobody holds him accountable more than he does. And I just think that he's a guy that after watching that, you have to root for.
Yeah, how can you not? He's done everything and overcame so many things that I've never been able to go through. And I can't imagine the torment that it's caused him. And to see him be at such peace is a blessing, you know. And to you, like you said, you can't help but root for him and you want to see him succeed.
He's come a long way from Baltimore, shout out Charm City, to Oakland. It's been a long journey for him. Well, that's about it for us. Thank you again, as always, for listening. I'm going to go home and swallow some gum like Jonathan Abram.
I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah, that's kind of a disgusting habit, right?
Yeah, it sits in your stomach for 7 years.
I don't think that that's true. Let's pull up Google again for this. You can vamp.
I just don't know if you should ever swallow gum, but especially – well, no, I know for a fact you should never swallow gum. I'm not going to say that. I'm not sure. I know for a fact you should never swallow gum. Your body can't break that down. You have a lot of acid in your stomach, but that's too much. It's like rubber, as Tyer says. You can't do it. I wish – John Abram would listen to this podcast and maybe have some food for thought, maybe sleep on it, reconsider his life choices, but...
Okay, here's what Google says. This is from kidshealth.com. You might have heard that swallowed gum stays in your stomach for 7 years. That's not true. Though your stomach can't break down a piece of gum the same way it breaks down other food, your digestive system moves it along through your normal intestinal activity. So there you have it. But it's still not healthy for you, I don't think. No. I don't think there are any benefits of swallowing gum. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, it's not nourishing. It's not
Abram said that he swallows the gum because he likes the way it tastes so much.
But gum loses its taste after a while.
Well, we need to find out what kind of gum Abram's chewing.
I bet he also eats chapstick. He's probably the kind of guy that's like, this is a good flavor of chapstick. I'm going to eat chapstick. Right?
between that and Jason Kabinda not chewing his Starburst, as he said on Hard Knocks earlier, that he just sucks on Starburst until he swallows them, some weird proclivities on this defense.
A lot of strange eating habits.
So until next time, Raider Nation, thank you for hanging with us. We will see you next week on a brand new episode of Harder Knocks, training camp with Hard Knocks, training camp with the Oakland Raiders. It's starting to roll off the tongue a little bit.
Yeah.
And now we have the P. Schrag's stamp of approval on it.
Definitely. It's good to get outside support, right? You hear it from the people in the building, but you never know if they're being straight with you or not. Sure. So thank you, Peter Schrager, for giving the voice of confidence that we needed.
Thank you very much, Raider Nation. Find us on social media. Tweet at us. Let us know what you want to hear on the next episode. Check out that Spotify playlist. And until then, go Raiders. We'll be right back.